I am the Most High, declares the Lord. I am high above all other things. There is no other name by which men can be saved than the name of Jesus. There is no place higher than my throne, declares God. There are those who seek to depose me. They've kicked me out of their lives. They've refused to even acknowledge that I exist. And they struggle against me day after day. But they shall not pull me down, says God. For while they throw stones, they always have to throw the stones higher, because they know that they are beneath. They know that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that my Son Jesus is indeed Lord over all things. For I have enthroned him high above the seraphim, high above the cherubim, high above all the ideas or things that men could begin to comprehend. And yet men want to pit their ideals against me. And every time they do, they fail again and again and again. And yet they try, and they lift up their wisdom, and they lift up the things of men, thinking that this time their tower will stand. This time they will succeed in reaching heaven. This time they will succeed in uniting all people under one banner. But yet they don't understand that all will be united under one banner. But it is my banner, declares the Lord. For I am drawing all those who believe unto me, says God. And this is the day of the outpouring. You look at it and say, it's still yet to come. I say it's already here. I say it has already started, declares God. For when one person believed in my Son, the kingdom broke forth. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 came to me, declares God. Oh, it shook the kingdoms of darkness. And it still shakes those kingdoms. And those kingdoms want to rise up against it and declare, no, 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 we will not bow our knee. And yet they shall bow, declares God. For they will have no choice in this day but to acknowledge who I am, even before their enemies. For many will come out of the darkness, and they will come into my light, declares God. Those who have declared themselves to be my enemies shall see the light and shall turn from their wicked ways, and I will receive them, says the Father, and I will make them sons and daughters. And yet my people will say, oh, no, 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 no. They haven't worked like we have. They haven't done the works, the deeds that we have done. But yet I will pay them the same wages, says God. For my mercy and my grace is mine, to do with what I choose. And if I choose to give grace to one, then I will show him grace. For I want all those to come to me and to know who I am, that they could in this day be set free. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Almighty God. Thank you, Father.
Well, it's exciting to be with you guys tonight. And the Spirit of God was speaking to me as we were sitting there. He said, we're going to shift into a gear in the Spirit that we didn't even know we had. Come on. We're about ready to shift into a gear in the Spirit that we didn't even know we possess. See, we have so much more potential than what we're operating at. Come on. Because you have the fullness of God on the inside of you. And there's realms of the Spirit that cause tremendous acceleration. And it's not that we work harder. It's that God works through us. and we see supernatural breakthroughs. So we're going to have some fun tonight. I always do. You know, I like a statement that Willie George said a couple of months ago when I was at a service he was preaching. And he said, "You must believe that God's power to restore is greater than the devil's power to destroy." Amen. Come on now. You must believe God's power to restore is greater than the devil's power to destroy. That God's power to heal is far greater than the devil's power to put sickness on you. That God's power to prosper is far greater than the devil's power to impoverish. That God's power to deliver is far greater than the devil's power to enslave. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Come on. We have we have the same power on the inside of us that raised Christ from the dead. We have resurrection power. And in fact, if you have Jesus living in you, you have the resurrection living in you. Because he said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." Come on now. So literally, you know, if we live from the inside out, we cannot be defeated. So the enemy's always trying to keep us in the flesh. Because when we're in the flesh, you know, it's the realm he dominates. But when we're in the spirit, it's the dominion or kingdom realm where the kingdom of God is evidenced in the manifestation of God. Now, I'm going to talk about breakthrough by being in step with the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 says that, you know, if we are the children of God, it says that we will be led by the Spirit of God. Come on. And I believe that. And it's mature sons. It's a maturity level of learning how to let the Holy Spirit. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to break this down and make it practical, that God always leads us in triumph. Come on. He always leads us in triumph. Always. So literally, victory is God's way. Come on. You know, God, yeah, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So literally, as long as we're in faith, we're winning. The moment we get out of faith, we're sinning, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So literally, you know, anytime we disconnect from heaven, we start losing. Come on. But God's trying to lead us in triumph. But in order for us to be triumphant, we need to follow. And a good man's steps are order of the Lord. What does that mean? That's Psalm 37:23. That literally God is trying to get you in step. Come on. In a cadence. And actually, as you follow behind him, you walk in his shadow. And if you walk in the shadow of the Almighty, come on. You abide under his shadow. It says nothing, 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 no harm will befall you. It says 1,000 may fall at one hand and 10,000 at the other, but won't come near you. Come on now. It says pestilence won't even come near your household. It said God will satisfy you with long life. Come on now. See, there's promises of being in step with God. And what God's always trying to do is get us to follow the lead. Come on. When we go our own way, we get ourselves in trouble. But God is beginning, we're going to become more sensitized than ever before, and we need to begin to realize it's not by our might, it's not by our power, it's by the Spirit of God. So supernatural. See, breakthrough happens, and I'm talking about breakthrough, and all breakthrough is a manifestation of the kingdom. It's God's will being done on earth as is in heaven. You know, all breakthrough is the will of God. That's all it is. You know, But when you're sick, you need a healing breakthrough. When you're impoverished, you need a provision breakthrough. You know, there are times we need a guidance, a relationship breakthrough. But breakthrough happens when you're at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people in the right way. That's when breakthrough happens. When you're at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing in the right way with the right people. And the only way you can do that is by the Spirit of God. Let me show you how this works. Because I want you to begin to be more aware of the impressions God tries to give you. Come on. Because we always think of being led by the Spirit as, whoo! And a lot of times it's just a thought. Just something we just know on the inside. We can't even explain it. When my wife was at Oral Roberts University, she was in her senior year. She's sitting in, and she's about ready to graduate, and she's sitting in her room, and she's praying. And she said, "Lord, I really need a job when I get out of school, you know?" And she said, "You know, I would love to work for a ministry." So she's first asking God to guide her steps. See, if you don't ask for guidance, you won't get it. If you don't acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, he can't direct you. You know, if you want to be your own God, then you'll get your own results. And there's a way that seems right and demand, but that way is death. Come on now. Then there's a road. I guarantee you something. I can always predict by what road you're on where the destination will be. Because the path determines the destination. So people say, "You're very prophetic." I don't need to be prophetic. I know if you go on this road, you end up here. Come on. It's the principle of the path works for everybody. Come on. So my wife's prayed, asked God, and this is what God said. He said, "Get up right now and go to the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association." Well, we were at Oral Roberts University, you know, attending. "And take your writing with you." Take the stories. My wife used to write. She was the religious editor for the Tulsa World as a high school student. So she did a lot of her, you know, devotionals actually were published in the paper in the Sunday edition. So she said, "Just take one of your stories with you and go apply." Well, she thought she was going to be like a secretary or something. And she thought, "Well, you know, I don't really want to do that, but I still want to work for the ministry." So the moment she walks in, now see how God's ordering steps, time, everything. She walks in there. The receptionist, you know, went to our church we went to and said, "Well, Pam, what are you doing here?" She said, "Well, I want to apply for a job." And the first thing she said is, "Do you write?" We just had a writer quit 10 minutes ago that wrote the Daily Blessing Devotional Guide, which is the Oral Roberts devotional thing. Well, my wife said, "Yeah, I write." And she said, "Well, can you go get some of your work?" She said, "I don't have to get it. I have it right with me." So literally, she hands it over. They take it in. Oral's in his office. Oral reads it and says, "You're hired." You know, but it was at the right time, at the right place. Come on now. See, when it's not coinky dinky. You know, I mean, some people think everything's coinky dinky. It's not. Trust me. It's being led by the Spirit, and you just, you know, I mean, it may be almost by accident, but it's by plan. It's by divine design. You're at the right place at the right time, running into the, you know. Several years ago, I'm flying out, and on a ministry trip, and I'm bumped up to first class, which I always love. I won't pay for it, but I will definitely accept it. So I'm next to this guy, and I start talking to this older gentleman, and you know, I asked him. I said, "Where'd you come from? Well, where are you going to, or where you come from?" He said, "Well, I judge science fairs." My son had just started doing some science things. And it was before he did the algorithm stuff. Well, Joey was really interesting in designing the next MRI. And he was studying magnetic, you know, imaging and all that. And he was seventh grader, so, you know, he's ridiculously smart. But I'm talking to this guy, and he said, "Well, I judge science fairs." I said, "Well, my son is involved in science fair." He said, "Well, what's his subject?" I said, "Well, he's thinking about designing the next MRI," and the guy's eyes got real big. He said, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "Obviously not. I just met you." He said, "I'm going to pull up on my phone." Well, he was the inventor of the MRI. I'm sitting next to the guy, him and his partner. His partner got the Nobel Prize for it. But they literally designed the first MRI. His partner was dead, but he's still alive. He said, you want your son to call me? I'll talk to him about how to go. You know, what's the chances? But when you're in the spirit, chances are very good. Come on now. See, I want you to begin to understand that God's trying to set you up. Do you hear what I'm saying? Does this make sense? And see, many times what we need, all we need to do is drink and flow. Let's go to John chapter 7. Drink and flow, baby. Drink and flow. Drink and flow. I mean, that's what I used to do before I got saved. You know. But, you know, I'm still under the influence, just a different one. You know. Because you have to taste in order to see. See, many people, religion doesn't do you much good. But relationship with Christ does. You know. God is a God that not only guides, he guides and provides. He sets us up. He leads us in triumph. He leads us in triumph. And here in John chapter 7, it says, "Now on that great day at the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, 'If anyone's thirsty,'" and we need to be thirsty for God. Come on, thirsty, because the degree that you want him is the degree that he's going to show up in your life. "But if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And that this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those whom believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given. He was given on the day of Pentecost, so he has been given now. But it's literally, God says the key in your life is always to drink and flow. Come on. The moment you stop drinking, you stop flowing. See, what happens is God wants you to be carried by the current of the Spirit, which means that literally you have to be current in your relationship with God to be led by the Spirit of God. Come on now. See, you know, we're going to flow. The last move of God is just going to be a flow and an overflow. Come on. It's going to be literally being carried by the Spirit of God places. See, when it talks about walking in the Spirit, literally in Galatians 5:16, I'm going to go there. I'm going to have some fun tonight. Because I love the Holy Ghost. I love miracles. I love signs and wonders. And now I've learned in my own life, even when I get tongue-tied, many times that's the Spirit of God. You know? I laugh about the time I went to a church and I was going, it was so terrible. It was a religious, it was dead. They were the meanest people on the face of the earth. I was so fed up. I was going to say, thus saith the Lord, I pronounce Ichabod over you, which means the glory has departed. So, I mean, I opened my mouth. I mean, I was ready. I didn't want them to invite me back. I was closing that door. So I went, thus saith the Lord, I see Ichabod on your door, but it came out Michelob. So I'm here. I see Michelob on your door. And how many of you have ever heard something out of your mouth that is so wrong on so many different levels? So, you know, I tried to correct it, and it came out the same way. I see Michelob on your door. Well, a year later, I'm back in the area, and I drive by the church. Well, the church closed down, and a bar bought it, and right on the door was Michelob. I was being prophetic and not even knowing it. I was in a church in Kansas, and the guy's a good friend of mine now, but I called him out, and he owned a John Deere company. It's farmland. And I was going to say, I see you with combines in the field. But it came out as, I see you with concubines in the field. What I didn't know is he was having an affair at the time. And he thought I was telling the whole church about what was going on. And he ended up leaving the church and splitting with his wife for a little while until God got a hold of him. And he's become good friends with me, and then, you know, their marriage is healed, everything else. But he said, man, he said, you, I thought, whoa, he knows everything. Most of the time, I don't know what I'm saying or I wouldn't say it. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing or I wouldn't do it. Come on. But I found out I got more of the Holy Ghost than I think I do. Come on now. See, if you're led by the Spirit of God, see, the Holy Spirit will determine your direction and your pace. Understand that. When you're led by the Spirit, there are times when everything's super fast. And there are times when it seems like slow motion. And you honestly, if you try to go outside the pace of the Holy Ghost, it doesn't work. So you have to begin to learn the rhythm. And each season, the rhythm changes a little bit. So we're in a season change right now. And many of us were trying to find a new rhythm. Come on. Does this make sense? I want you to understand that God is going to lead you, and if you'll take his lead, everything's going to work well. See, the Spirit of God will lead you into all truth. Come on. He'll lead you into the word you need at that moment. He will actually guide you and make sure what you need to hear, you hear. You know? I've learned that he has words in due season. It's the word we need at that moment. It's sometimes the word you speak to somebody. I went by a person, and God told me, I'm driving my car by, and he says, just stop. Go talk to him. I didn't know the people. I was in a hurry. I'm always in a hurry. I'm from New York. Even when I'm not in a hurry, I'm in a hurry, you know? I mean, I live in Oklahoma, but I still have a New York attitude. That's why I blame all my impatience on New York. You know, when we buy a car, we don't even check out the engine, just a horn. Come on. But God, you know, God tells me, get out of the car and talk to this guy. I said, what do you want me to say to him? Tell him that God loves him and you care about his life and his life is worth living. I thought, well, okay. So I get out of the car and I say, hey, buddy, get over here. I said, God loves you. He cares about you. And people love you. And it's worth living. He starts weeping. He pulls out a gun that was loaded. And he said, I was about ready to shoot myself. I needed to know somebody cared. That's a word in due season. God knows. Sometimes we at the very end of our rope, and I'm glad Jesus lives at the end of ropes. Yes. Come on now. Aren't you glad about that? That he has a way of letting you know that you're more valuable. Don't give up. Come on. Does this make sense? See, let's go to John 16. I'm going to have some fun. Like I said, I love this stuff. And you know what? I don't love religion. I don't love religious stuff. In fact, when you told the story about when Paul was preaching and the kid fell out of the second story and died, all I could think of is my Greek professor at ORU. And he said, do you know what that young man's name was? And I've never forgotten his name. Because he said, his name was Eutychus. He said, you would cuss too if you have drunk. So I never forgot that. You know? Now, you know, he was my favorite professor because you never knew what he was going to say. You know. But John 16, so many of you are going to remember this from now on. You are. John 16, 13. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he's going to guide you in all truth, for he'll not speak of his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak. He'll disclose it to you, and he's going to disclose you what is to come. See, the Holy Ghost will show you a picture of your future. He shows you things to come. He glorifies Jesus. And all things the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. See, he's the revelator. And you know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He takes away that orphan spirit from the church. Because the moment you receive him, he begins to witness in your heart you are a child of God. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Daddy. Daddy, God. See, that's one thing. That, you know, when you know Daddy, God, when you understand who your Father is, changes everything. I've mentioned this story before, but years ago when my dad's law firm occupied one of the floors of the Empire State Building, one of the most prime land, you know, real estate property in the world. And I had just come back from watching the ball game and Yankee game, and I had a tank top on because back in those days I could wear one. That's been when I had the perfect V. I do have pictures to prove it. So I came in there and they were doing a high profile cases and he had high security on his floor. Well, he hired a new security guard. I think it was Barney Fife. So I come off and I got my cut off, you know, shorts on and a tank top. I didn't look like anybody that, you know, belonged in that area. So I get off the elevator. And the guy, security guard, comes to me and says, you're not allowed here. I said, yes, I am. He said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. He said, you don't understand, buddy. This is a high security thing. I said, you don't know who I am. He said, I don't care who you are. I said, yes, you do. You just don't know it yet. He said, but he pulls out his gun. You know, he's nervous, just like Barney. And I'm laughing. I shouldn't be laughing because the guy's pointing a gun at me, but I'm laughing. And I said, I sure hope the bullet is in your pocket, Barney. You understand something? I got a New York tude about me. So I do understand our president. It's just the way you grow up out there, you know? It's most people call it rude. We just call it New York. So, you know. So, you know, I said, when I tell you who I am, I said, I don't care. You can either leave now. I said, when I tell you who I am, you're going to get me a jelly donut and a cup of coffee. He says something. He gets in my face. He said, buddy, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you own this place. And I said, read my lips. I do. He said, you do what? I said, I own this place. Now you tell my daddy I'm here. He used the famous phrase, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? And I mentioned, I said, you tell Mr. Woodson, he said, yes, sir! He said, how do you want your donut? How do you like your coffee? Everything changed. When you know who you are, you don't let anyone keep you from your daddy. Come on. Even if you're acting like a jerk, that's when you need to go to him the most. Come on now. You know, when you don't let anyone say you're not worthy. You don't let anyone say you're not welcome. The blood of Jesus made us worthy. The blood of Jesus made us welcome. Come on now. You're not second class. You're a child of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And you're called to rule and to reign in this life. And the Holy Ghost will begin to teach you what no man can teach you. Because you not only hear the voice, you may hear my voice today and it won't do much for you. But in it, you may hear the voice of God that will do some tremendous things. The anointing of God will teach you all things. And sometimes, you know, you can hear things that weren't even said. But you're in the presence. So what you hear being said may not even have been something. I remember years ago, we were doing the youth group, and we had this one girl in our youth group that was notoriously wild. I mean, she was the wildest thing you ever met, and she was an elder's girl. And, you know, she was forced to go to church, but she just had a reputation. And I used to preach messages all the time right at her. Back in the old, repent, you're going to hell, all that type of thing, you know. All the good news you can bring. And, I mean, no matter how hard I preached, never reached her. Then one day my wife gives this little prophetic word. And it was the sweetest thing I ever heard in my life. It was one of those, my children, I love you, I love you, I love you. There's nothing you can do to make me not love you. I really love you. I am in love with you. You know, that type of thing. You know, it made you want to float on out. And I thought, well, yeah, that was, in fact, for my wife even, that was kind of unusual because she usually gets a lot deeper than that. But this girl, she's weeping uncontrollably. And she stands up and she said, just like Pam says, we all need to repent. And we're staring at each other. She never said that. But the Spirit of God interpreted it. Many times, if you listen to the Spirit of God, He'll tell you what you need to hear. Come on. He'll lead you. He'll take a part of a scripture, a phrase. He'll all of a sudden just hope comes in, light comes in. All of a sudden, you're back on track. All of a sudden, you know what to do. An idea pops, you know. And many times, God will just lead you to do things, and, you know, you just don't know why. See, the Holy Spirit witnesses about Jesus. And when you need a breakthrough, you have to be sensitive. Because the Holy Spirit in John 16 will convict of sin. It means that he'll train or teach a person a better way to go and to live. In a sense of reproving, correcting, the Holy Spirit also is a foreteller, tell you things to do. The Holy Spirit helps us rather than leaving us. He's our helper. And what he tries to do is get us out of our independence. Because we need to be dependent on him. See, he leads us into truth and keeps us out of deception and distortion. He connects us to the Father rather than leaving us as orphans in isolation. He teaches us and reminds us so we are not ignorant or forgetful. This just makes sense. He convicts but not condemns. He raises us awareness of things to come. To be led by the Spirit, we need to be constantly filled with the Spirit. That's why we have to drink and flow. Drink and flow. Be constantly filled. Be constantly filled. Not one-time experience. Constantly. Constantly overflowing. And see, you know, if you acknowledge the Lord in all his ways, he'll direct your path. And he'll direct everything you do. Several years ago, I was preaching in Colorado. And actually, I was preaching in Kansas right before Colorado. And at the end of the service, someone gave me one of those Pentecostal handshakes. And that's where a lot of times they roll up a few bills or something. And I always say thank you. It's nice. So I just, you know, I never looked and see. I'm grateful for anything. But so it was a wad of bills. I figured they were $1 bills or something. So I just put it in my pocket. And when I got back to the hotel room that night, I pulled it out of my pocket, and there's seven $100 bills. That was a nice handshake. And as soon as I pulled it out, the Spirit of God spoke to me. They said, this is not yours. It's seed. He gives seed for the sower. So, you know, so I got even more excited. Some people wouldn't, but I do. I love to give. I absolutely love to give. That's why it's more blessed to give than to receive. I love to be in a position where I can be the answer to someone's thing. And I love using other people's money to do it. Come on now. Since I wasn't really my money because it just came to me, you know. So I go to the next church service, and all during the service, I speak three times there, and I'm looking for the person I'm supposed to give the money to because it's not mine. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to lead me. Nothing. Nothing. And now I feel like I have stolen money because I know it's not mine. But I haven't been able to find out who to give it to because I want to do what the Holy Spirit says. You know? And I remember at the end of it, I thought, well, I'm going back home. But he said, well, let's go out to eat. We went out to this fancy steak place. And we walk in. It's me and the pastor and about seven other people. And it's a big restaurant, fancy restaurant. And nobody would wait on us. Nobody's in the restaurant. The only people in the restaurant are workers. There are workers everywhere. Nobody would wait on us. Nobody. I'm listening to conversations. You wait on them. No, you wait on them. You wait. No, you wait on them. So I finally looked at the youngest person because usually if I'm going to command somebody, I say, you, get over here. So he gets over here. I said, what's your problem? He said, you're church people, aren't you? He said, yes, we are. He said, we just had a group of 30, and they left a $5 tip. All of a sudden, I knew why I had the money. So I looked him square in the eye. I said, buddy, look at me. I'm rich. He said, you're what? I said, I'm rich. Well, I felt rich. Because I had seven $100 bills in my pocket. You know? And I said, just if you treat me nice and our people nice, we'll treat you really nice because I'm rich. He said, you're rich. I said, yes. He said, then I'll wait on you. And sure enough, you know, he was shocked. Everyone's shocked I'm a preacher because I'm fun. I mean, it shocks people. Some people think it's like sacrilegious. Well, it's anti-religion sometimes because you just have so much freedom and so much liberty, and you laugh a lot, and you're kind of like Jesus, and Pharisees couldn't stand him, you know. I mean, because he had the best party going, you know. So we're just joking with the guy the entire time, and he's loosening up and he's laughing, and you know, we're having a good old time. Well, he doesn't know what's coming. So at the very end of the table, I look at the pastor. I say, are you going to lead him to the Lord, or am I going to lead him to the Lord? I say, he's ready. I hadn't even left the tip yet. So it wasn't because of the money. But I looked at him, and he said, the pastor said, are you sure he's going to accept Jesus? I said, yes, he will. He said, then I'll lead him. So he said, he asked the guy, he said, you want to receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior? He starts weeping, and by this time, the whole restaurant's full again. He says, yes, I do. He drops on his knees, and he starts screaming, Jesus, save me. Is this a fancy restaurant? I almost got embarrassed. Be honest with you. I mean, he is just overcome, and he runs into the back, you know, room where they provide, you know, the food back in that area, the kitchen, and he's weeping. You can hear him weeping back there. But he left the bill. Now, I told the pastor, I said, you're going to buy my meal, but I'm going to leave the tip. And he said, in the meal, I think, came to a couple hundred dollars between the seven of us. But I said, I'm leaving a $700 tip. And I said, you know, I said, I know I'm supposed to do that. And the pastor looked at me. He said, well, I'm in on this. All the other people said, I'm in on it. We left about $1,400 in a tip. Well, and by the time this guy gets back, he's already wrecked. Then he sees the money, and he says, this is way too much. He starts crying. This is way too much. I said, yeah, God's done way too much for you. He loves you way too much. And then he's crying. He goes and he brings this young lady over. And he said, this is my girlfriend. He said, we live together and all that. And that didn't blow me away, because when you reach people, you're not judging them. Come on. And he said, do you mind if I share some of the money with her? I said, we gave you the money. You do whatever you want to with it. Well, she starts crying. And she looks over, and he looks over, and he said, where is your church? And we mentioned where the pastor was, you know, where I was preaching at. You know, they got married in that church. She got saved in that church. They're serving in that church. It was the best investment we ever made, and the Holy Spirit knew it. And God gave me the investment. See, you never give anything to anyone that God didn't give to you first. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can show mercy because you receive mercy. You know, you understand. And you know, when you flow with the Spirit, you just become an outlet of blessing. You know, you don't even many times even know that you're lifting people up. But you are. You know, I get so many people saved in restaurants because I eat out a lot. You know, and I just have fun in restaurants. But see, I've learned there's a cadence in the Spirit. You know, when we're led by the Spirit, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Understand that. Several years ago, when I was at the University of Richmond in Virginia, before I went to Oral Roberts University, God spoke to me and said, I want you to go to ORU. And I thought, okay. But I began to do my research, and by that time I was a junior at the University of Richmond. And in order to transfer, although my hours were there, it wouldn't count towards anything. So I had to do another 3 years to go and get a degree, where if I had just stayed at the University of Richmond, I only had a year and one quarter.
And I told the Lord, I said, I'll go to ORU, but I'll do my graduate work there. The Lord said, I'm leading you to go now. The semester ended. I still decided I was going to do my own thing. I even went to a meeting. This old prophet came up to me, and he said, I perceive you're about ready to make a bad decision. You're supposed to change schools. And he said, if you don't change schools, something bad's going to happen to you. And you know what? It came right out of me. I said, I know it, but I'm not going to give up. The next 2 years' time. So I went back to University of Richmond, and I was playing a basketball game. And we were a bunch of little short white kids who couldn't jump, playing big black kids who couldn't shoot. So it looked like a half-court game. That's what it looked like, because they would shoot and get the rebound, shoot and get the rebound, shoot and get the rebound. And finally, a miracle happened, and we got a rebound. Well, I'm going on fast break. Now, I'm out of the will of God now. And they throw the basketball, and I'm looking at as the basketball is going down, and the coach thought it was a half-court game. So he has a volleyball pole he's going to set up for the next gym class. So he has it. He's wheeling it out. I'm chasing the ball. He never saw the ball coming because he had his head down. I had my head on the ball. I didn't see him coming. So when I turn around, I know what it's like when you see knights on shining armor and they stick it in the gut. I hit full speed into the volleyball pole, and it just happened to hit just the right place, because almost anything else would have killed me instantly. But I woke up 10 days later, and I literally had such internal bleeding that they said that had they done emergency surgery, I would have died, bled out in the surgery. So they couldn't do anything. I had a ruptured spleen. I had all these things. All they could do is wait and see what was going to happen. So I'm in the ICU, and I have a nurse at the edge of the bed crying, saying, you're going to die. That's how I woke up. And a couple of minutes later, I had a priest come by and sprinkle me and say some Latin words over me or something like that. And I kept thinking, who cares if I die dry or die wet? In fact, after I got healed, I wanted to give him a super soaker, make his job easier. But I'm sitting there in the ICU, dying, literally. And underneath my breath, because I couldn't talk because of all the tubes, I said, okay, Lord, I'll obey you. I'm stubborn, but not that stubborn. And the moment I said that underneath my breath, the monitor went straight. I felt a fire in me. The bleeding stopped. So I walked out of the hospital 2 days later. And I, 65 pounds lighter. Now, you're talking about weight loss. I mean, I've got this new weight loss program. I'll send you the poll. So by that time, I call up ORU, and they had just started by the time I got out. And they said, we have no room at the university. We're booked out, and there's no room. You can come the next semester. I said, I'm not coming the next semester. I said, God told me I need to be here. So I have this strong gut-level feeling. Come on now. And I told the guy, I said, God opens a door no one can shut, and shuts a door no one can open. And I said, I don't really care if you don't give me a room, I am going to sleep on the campus until you let me on as a student. But I am not leaving the campus, period. So literally, I came on campus, and they allowed me to come, but they didn't have a room. So they cleared out a storage closet. And for the first 2 weeks at my ORU thing, I basically slept in a storage closet. I was one of those closet Christians. But after a while, a couple of people dropped out, and I got my own room. But I keep thinking about that. Had I not been there, I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have met Miles Monroe, who had a great, you know, is in heaven today, but had a great impact on my life. I wouldn't have met my pastor, Billy Joe Daugherty, who's also in heaven right now. I wouldn't have met, you know, I mean, you name it. I would, my wife would, you know, I wouldn't have met the Copelands, because my wife used to pray with Terry Copeland, who's now Terry Pearson's. I wouldn't have met the Osteens, but my best friend at Oral Roberts University was Paul Osteen, that, you know, John Osteen's and Joel Osteen's brother, John Osteen's son. Everything was set up for that time. And God has a way of setting things up. And sometimes it doesn't make sense until you look back. How many of you understand? Sometimes God's ways make no sense at all. It looks like the long way around. When Joseph had a dream, you know, you would have thought, you know, he turned into a nightmare. I mean, his brothers tried to kill him first. Then they sold him into slavery. And I asked God about that. I said, God, how come he went through all that stuff? He said, I was leading all the way. He said, had he stayed in his family, they were dream killers. So that literally, I was protecting the dream by having him go that direction. Sometimes God's protecting us, and it doesn't make sense, but he's leading and guiding us. See, tonight I believe God wants to begin to explode on the inside of you. I believe he's going to begin to lead us in ways we've never known before. Sometimes you set out and God forbids you. I've had God forbid me to go to some pretty good places. But it wasn't the right time. You know? Final story. Now I'm going to pray for people tonight. But there, you know, just because you have an open door doesn't mean there's no adversaries. Just because you have an open door doesn't mean there's, you know. And just because you have a closed door doesn't mean that's the devil. Sometimes God closes a door because he has a better door. And because we wouldn't choose the better door on our own. Come on. Sometimes, honestly, you know, he's always leading us in triumph. He's always leading us upward, never downwards. Sometimes he'll lead you into spirit-led relationships. And sometimes he has to actually get poison out of your life in relationships. And it's painful at times, but it's the truth. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? So I've learned something about God that you know, he does things a little bit differently than we would. And you know, the iron sharpens iron. So when literally God begins to lead us and guide us, we might as well get ready for a breakthrough. Come on. Because we're about ready to get into a thing where we're going to become more sensitized to the Spirit of God than ever before. Several years ago, I was supernaturally in debt. Not naturally. And it wasn't even it was my fault. I co-signed for something. And it was somebody who was good for it, I thought. And they probably were good for it, but as a major thing happened in the economy, and he was out of the country. By the time he got back in the country, you know, we were looking at $50,000 to $100,000 that had to be paid immediately. My name was on it. And I thought, Lord, I like prison ministry, but I like being on the other side of the... I need some help. And I remember, you know, while I'm praying, I get a phone call from a very large church. That's about 5,000 fairly wealthy folks. And the pastor said, I think we're supposed to have you for several meetings. And I realized if I went to that church without manipulating people, there's a good chance I could pay off that debt, because it's a big giving church. And, you know, So I thought God had answered my prayer. The only problem is I had another church scheduled. That was a smaller church and a poor church. And I don't go places based on that. But in this case, I wanted to. So I was going to call my friend in a smaller church and say, I'm going to go to the larger church and can I reschedule? Except God said, you know, when I prayed about it, God said, did I tell you to go to the big church? And I said, no, sir. He said, don't you think I knew you'd have this need? And I said, yes, sir. He said, then you need to go and obey me. I mean, I went there, but reluctant. I remember preaching the first service there. And we had a great time in the Lord. At least they did. I didn't. But I gave an altar call, and there's 50, 75 people came forward. It was really good. And I'll never forget that. I mean, we saw some miracles and everything else, and the pastor looked over at me. And he said, you know, this is one of the best services we've ever had. He said, but this is the worst offering we ever took for anybody. Well, here I'm under pressure already. So then I go back to my room, and I instead of just trying to stay in faith, I'm sucking rug, you know what I'm saying? Oh, God! Oh! And I finally, at the end of doing that, the Lord said, you through yet? I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to teach you something. I said, am I going to like it? He said, in the end. In the next service, we did a meeting. And there were about 300 people there. And I'll never forget, the little boy with cerebral palsy came in that day. I saw him. And they were basically able to he was able to walk with the braces. And I remember that night so distinctly because I prayed for people and they brought him forward. They're carrying their little boy. I prayed for a lot of people that night. We had a lot of miracles, but I prayed for him. I didn't feel much other than compassion, but it wasn't one of those overwhelming things. Next thing you know, I'm looking and I'm praying for other people and I see a little kid running around the sanctuary, really creating a stir. In fact, I was going to ask the ushers to put him back until I realized it was the boy. And that when he came back to his seat, he was on fire. And he began screaming at his parents. I didn't even hear it, but they say he was screaming, get the braces off. Get the braces off. And he took off running. I thought, wow. And the thing that went through my mind is, Lord, I don't care if I go to prison. This was worth it. It's a miracle. The next day I get a phone call and it's the president of a major corporation. It's his secretary. He said, I want to meet with you. You know, my boss wants to meet with you for lunch. Can we send a chauffeur limo to pick you up? I thought it was a joke. The pastor was playing on me. So I said, yeah, send a chauffeured limo. And I went out and got some Grey Poupon. Because I always wanted to do that little commercial with the Grey Poupon. Well, you at every light, you pull down the window and show it, you know. So, I mean, you know, and sure enough, this big stretch limo pulls up. I thought, man, he's putting money into this one. The chauffeur picks up. He said, you met Reverend Woodson? I said, yes, I am. He said, get in. I said, got in the back. I said, I want you to stop at every light. So I did. I showed the Grey Poupon. They were honky. It's funny things that make me happy. Well, all of a sudden, I realized this is no joke. Because we're driving for about an hour outside of Philly, and I pull up into one of the more expensive land in the country. And it's a 3-mile driveway into the house, and it's a 36,000 square foot home. And by that time, I'm nervous. I think, I belong. Lord, this is real. So they escort me in. I meet the butler. They take me into this place, and he's got a $200,000 rug on the thing, and he's got a Rembrandt on the wall, original. And I meet this distinguished man, and when I get nervous, I get really bold. So I looked at the guy, and when he introduced me, I said, do you mean business with God, or are you wasting my time? He starts crying. I said, sir, I'm so sorry. I said, when I get nervous, I get really bold. I can get really obnoxious. He said, do you remember that little boy last night? I said, what? I said, how do you know about that? He said, last night, and he's weeping uncontrollably. He said, last night at midnight, he said, my servant woke my wife and I up and said, sir, you have to see this. And he said, and there's a big marble staircase, and he went to the end of the staircase, and he starts crying, and he said, the door opened. And I still cry when I think about this. He said, I saw my 5-year-old grandson run up the stairs and jump into my lap. He said, is there anything I can do for you? And the hardest thing I ever said was, you can't buy a miracle, because at that time I knew exactly how much one should cost. Come on now. But, you know, he said, I want to do something for you. And I found out, I asked him if he was saved. Do you have Jesus in your heart? And I found out he did. He said, we knew before the baby was born there was a problem because of the amnio, whatever test that is, where they do this chromosome thing. In fact, you know, most of the doctors I've been around said they have never seen a chromosome miracle before. And that was one. And, you know, he said, I just want to write a check for you. I said, well, I won't stop you. But he said, you don't need to do this. You don't need to buy a miracle. He said, I'm not buying the miracle. I just want to write a check. Well, he wrote a check, and the check more than covered everything we owed. Got us out of the hole. But more than that, you know, I used to visit their house, and their little boy, and has the braces on the wall. He had the braces on the wall. In fact, he ran track for their high school. And I keep thinking, thank God for the leading of the Spirit. Because I would have missed a miracle. And maybe if I didn't show up, maybe the boy never would have been healed. I don't know. Because sometimes God has us set apart as the vessel in that particular person. You never know when you're the one that can make all the difference in the world. You know, you may be not called to touch everyone, but you are called to touch someone. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, you don't miss your someones. And that's what I'm asking you, to become more sensitized. When you're led by the Spirit of God, you can sidestep some of the enemy's traps. When you're led by the Spirit of God, all of a sudden you know things no one else can know. I go places a lot of times, and I'll begin to talk to people. They say, how do you know that? And I say, I just do. And many times it's not an audible voice. I just know. I just know. There's something on the inside of me. I just know things. And, you know, when God gives me knowledge that way, it's to help people. Come on, not to hurt them. Many times it's to undo the hurt that's been done in their lives. And all I want is the Holy Spirit. I want, because he always glorifies Jesus, and I know if I'm going to do what Jesus did, I need to have the type of anointing he had. And he didn't do any miracles until the Holy Spirit came on him. Because he operated as a man, and we need the same anointing. And I believe tonight God wants to make you sensitive. And I believe God wants to turn our lives around in some areas. That there's a gear we haven't touched yet that we're going to go into. And there's a place of compassion we haven't felt yet. But when you get it, it taps into heaven. And you get moved with compassion and miracles flow. That's what it's all about. I want every head bowed, no one looking around. If you fall asleep, God give you a dream. That's a gift of the Holy Ghost too. If you start snoring, someone will give you the interpretation. If I need to ask a question tonight, you know, first question I always ask. Is there anyone here you never made Jesus Lord of your life? Or maybe you did and you walked away and you need to get right with God. And you know, God doesn't condemn us. But he tries to get us back to where we need to be. You know, he's already paid the price for all our sins. He doesn't even upbraid us. He just says, welcome home. Come on now. But does anyone say, I need to get right with God tonight? If that's you, raise your hand. Anybody? You know you're okay. How many of you tonight will say, man, you're talking to me, though. I want to develop a greater sensitivity to the Spirit of God than I ever have before. I want to get out of this little flesh thing I do and get into the Spirit of God. I know there's more, and I want to tap into the more that there is. I want to pray for you tonight. If you're just hungry and you're thirsty, and you just want to learn how to flow on the next level. I know how to flow on the level we've been at. I'm learning. That's why I'm saying, Lord, teach me to pray. I'm asking the Holy Ghost to teach me to how to tap in to the flow on the next level. Lead me into it. Lead me into it. I'm, you know, if that's you, if you want prayer tonight, I want to pray for you. If you need a healing in your body, I want to pray for you. Come on up now. God's about ready. He's taking this church to a different level. This is a new season. Oh, baby. I know it. Oh, they are so cute. Nothing like the little ones. Just lift your hands up towards heaven, because God has so much more, so much more, so much more. We're about ready to tap into true wealth, true riches. You know, it's funny, God says, when you're faithful in another man, it prepares you for true riches. True riches. So I believe now we're going to come into a season of true riches. And I'm not just talking about natural stuff, but be honest with you, until we stop separating natural from spiritual, we're in trouble. Because if it's all yielded to God, it's all spiritual. Come on. And this is a season where the anointing of God's going to come on you like never before. Where all of a sudden, a small, still voice will cause a mighty explosion. That's what the anointing does. The anointing comes on you. And things I've showed you, I'm watching over it to perform it. You don't have to make it happen, but you have to cooperate. And as you cooperate, watch what I'll do, declares God. And the things I showed you before, the deal's still on. There's a fresh flow. There's a supernatural acceleration. Things that have been held up are about ready to be released. In the name of Jesus. This is your season now. All you got to do is drink and flow. Drink and flow. Spend time in my presence, and my presence will lead you. My presence will guide you. My presence will fix that which needs to be fixed. And there'll be times when you'll seem to stumble yourself away into victory. In Jesus' name. How many of you understand that? That's why I said when my tongue gets tied sometimes. You know? All of a sudden I realize maybe that was God. You know? Maybe that was, I hope it was. Because it just sure didn't sound like him. But then at the end, you know it by the results. And this is a season where you're going to begin to fine-tune yourself. To the voice of God. See, you can dream big now. You guys can dream big. He's going to make your dreams come true. He's beginning to speak to you, and you begin to understand more. See, as we grow, we get a greater capacity to know what our Father's like. And that's the neatest thing. Because he's got so much now. He's pouring on you and through you. He's even giving you hobbies to enjoy that he does with you. You know? You go to our house, like I said, you know, there are more guitars in our house than most music stores. Because my wife loves her guitars. But you know, God told me, said, you know, he said, I love it when she plays. It's her way of getting alone with God. It's her way of creativity. And God's leading you into a whole new season in your life. And you might as well be excited. Because he's going to begin to speak to you. He's about ready to restore some stuff. He's beginning to move in a fresh way. And he said, you know, I'm going to lead you in victory. I'm going to turn these things around. And you're going to see my goodness on your life. And you'll realize it's all by my grace and my mercy. And you're going to see the desires of your heart fulfilled, especially in loved ones, in Jesus' name. See, that's what I've learned. I've learned all of a sudden he'll show you this is the way, walk ye in it. There are things I just know I'm supposed to do, so I do it. You know what I'm saying? You don't understand it, but you just, you know, hey, God leads you and guides you to certain people, and he's restoring you, so you now, you're beginning to get whole again. And you're able to make others whole. And you can begin to recognize people that have been through some of the things you've been through. And now you're able to help them because you're a little bit further along. And actually, as you help them, you're getting healed. So this is a whole new day. That's what I love. Part of the healing process in our life is helping other people to heal. You know that? It's the neatest thing in the world. But that's why I said, pray one for another that you may be healed. This is your season. You know, it's like a good country song where it's played backwards and you get everything back. Come on. And you don't just get it back the way it was taken. You get it back to a new level. And God's doing fresh things in your life because he's a fresh God. And he's beginning to reawaken some of the visions that he gave you in the past. Reawakening some of the desires he put in you. And he said, they were of me. And I'm going to begin to breathe on them again. And those gifts are going to begin to flow again. And you're going to begin to flow in those gifts because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And this is a new day. And you're going to begin to flow in that mercy and that grace that used to just fill your heart to overflowing. It's a new season. There's healing in you that will flow through you to heal others. Just as God is beginning to heal you, he's going to heal through you. It's just the way it is. See, whatever we receive, we become an authorized dealer of. And that's it. You know, you've received mercy, so you show mercy. There's a fresh fire burning, and you're learning how to tap in to the leadership of the Spirit of God. You're learning a lot of those impressions are God himself. Now you're able to decipher more what's God and what's you. Come on. And you're growing in this thing. So you might as well get excited. Because you're going to begin to flow and flow and flow and flow and flow and flow. And see, well, you know, once we get comfortable in our own skin, in our own giftings, it's really easy then to begin to flow. And there's a freshness and there's miracles and there's signs and there's wonders. And this is a season. Well, you're like little kids on the inside. And it won't be long before you get the little kid on the outside, too. Like calves released from a stall. See, religion didn't hold you. Now there's a freedom. Now there's a place of faith. Now you're not beat down. Now you're the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Now you know it's okay to laugh. In fact, God wants to tickle you. Woo! Yeah, he just wants to tickle his kids. You know, he likes to hear the Holy Ghost giggle. He does. It's like, whoa, daddy, 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 daddy. Woo! Woof! Daddy, 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 daddy! Woo! Yeah! Some of you gonna get your daddy, daddy, daddy on. Ho ho! When your daddy owns it all, and he's wild about you, watch out! All of a sudden, we're not earning it; we're receiving it. And this is just a fresh season of being led by the Spirit of God. Nothing can stop you. Nothing. 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 Nothing can stop you. Nothing in the natural can stop you because you're in the realm of the Spirit. This is a whole new breathing. You're going to drink deep, just drink deep, just drink deep. And there's this supernatural rest. So a lot of times, sometimes it's like being in those lazy river things. You just lean back and float. You let the water do all the work. I like that. Oh, that's my type of swimming, by the way. Yeah. I also like surfing, but that's a little bit different. That's my cray-cray side. But I got the lazy side, too. Come on. Now, you know, when I go fishing, I usually go about 100 miles an hour on the water, and I troll. I actually put the nets behind me. So whatever's in the lake, we got it, baby. But he's doing that. You're learning to flow. You're learning to tap. You're learning to learn to teach, you know, bring other people into a flow. You're learning how to recognize my presence and how to yield to me and how to step up when I tell you to step up and how to let me, when I say let me, and there are other times I'll say you step up so I can. So you know the difference. It's a new day. It's touching your family. It's touching your life. There's such an explosion going on. You know? And the main thing is, if we keep drinking, we keep flowing. You know? I mean, before I was saved, I drank all the time. And that was a problem. I need to be broken of that. But now that I'm saved, I drink all the time, but I'm not drinking any alcohol. I'm just drinking new wine. And I learn how to flow in that. I see things. I drink until I see something. Woo! Woo! Some people don't understand the woo, but once you get there, you know it.
Exactly.
Yo, woo! So I always can tell. I can tell the inhalers and the fakers. But you start inhaling, you start seeing things. And you're seeing things differently than you've ever seen them before. And you're learning how to yield to the Holy Spirit. And you're learning how that compassion is just a flow. It flows out of you. It flows out of you. And God's going to lead and he's going to guide and he's going to provide every step of the way. This is a whole new season. He's your daddy. He's wild about you. He said, hey, I've got so much more favor than I've even given you. Or than you've received. He's already given it to you. He said, I got so much favor that you're going to begin to experience. And you know something? You're going to pass it down to the little ones. The same favor. And they're going to begin to start at your ceiling so they can move on up. That's the neatest thing. See, I can honestly say my son has started at my ceiling. You know, And that's the way we trained him. I don't want him. I didn't want him to go through what I went through to get there. But, you know, he got free. I had to fight my way because of all the experiences and all the stuff. But, you know, when I got unclogged, the flow. Well, you have a flow that's coming your way, and watch out. And here's the little princess. You're so sweet, it's ridiculous. Yeah, she is. You know, you're such a sweet girl. And you've got God's favor round about you as a shield. You might as well dream so big and see yourself as a princess. See yourself. That literally, God, in fact, loved you so much he gave you the kingdom. So you got a kingdom. Yeah, in fact, he's actually seated you in him on the throne. So you got a throne. You're royalty. Watch out, girl. And you can ask your Father for anything, your Heavenly Father for anything, and watch what he'll do. He's going to make ways where there is no way. This is your season now. So you might as well dream and have good dreams tonight. God dreams. Amen. See, every one of us, I want to close in this. One of my favorite cartoons, and I love them, is The Incredibles. I love The Incredibles because that's who we are. Every one of us, we're part of the incredible family. Every one of us has supernatural talents and gifts from a different realm. Every one of us, come on, every one of us, come on. That's what the Spirit of God does, is it activates our gifting. Some is compassion, some can see. My son's literally is the ability to see in the realm of tech world what no one else can see, and to produce an amazing amount of money that he can help finance things, good things all around the world. Every one of you have gifts, you have talents, and the Holy Ghost will lead you. He'll give you the giftings. It's the gift of the Spirit. And he'll begin to breathe on your realm. And in your realm, you're unstoppable. Just stay in your lane and root each other on. And we don't all have to be the same part, because if we were all the same part, only one part would be needed, and it'd be me. At least that's my opinion. So, but how many of you got something tonight? Isn't that neat?